For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It is October the 26th, and we are in Parashas Tetzaveh. We're on page 472, and we're finishing up the last few garments of the Kohen Gadol and also the regular Kohanim. So tonight we're going to begin from Pasuk Lamed Tes 39. Is that right, Mrs. Kaiser?
Yes,
okay, fine. Lamed Tes 39. Vishibatsa hakitsones sheish. And you shall, what is this word, shibatsa mean they have over here?
Lehetunik?
Yeah, but
Vax like knit.
Okay. It means you're going to make the tunic out of, sheish is linen, and it's going to have these indentions in it as you make the garment. It's not going to be just a smooth, seamless garment. There's going to be some indentions in it in the way you make it. So they say box-like. V'asisam mitznefes sheish, and you'll make a hat out of linen. V'avneit ta'asem aserokem. And a belt you shall make, and the way you should make it is through sewing. Embroidery, they say on the side there.
Weaving.
Embroidery, not weaving. Embroidery, so it says in the English. Now you notice that it doesn't tell you what the belt is made out of. Meaning it tells you that the tunic is made out of linen, and the hat is made out of linen, and the belt should be made through embroidery. But it doesn't say what the material is. The pasuk is not really balanced, because you're leaving out what the material is. Now, these are still, we're talking about the Kohen Gadol. We talked about the other garments that he wore. We mentioned peripherally the hat, because the only way to wear the tzitz, the headband on the forehead, was in conjunction with the hat. But now we mentioned specifically the tunic, the hat, and the belt. This belt was used to hold the tunic closed, so that if you'll take it in order of what the Kohen would wear, we haven't gotten to the pants yet, but obviously he's wearing pants. Then there's a tunic, then there's a belt which holds the tunic closed, and then there's a hat. The Kohen Gadol has on top of those four garments four other garments, as we mentioned before. So he has the ephod, which is the apron, and he has the breastplate. Let's not do that now, and he has the breastplate, which is attached to the straps of the apron. The apron has a belt. He also has a jacket that he wears, and the belt that is on the apron holds the jacket closed. And of course he has, as you mentioned, the tzitz, that headband that goes over the hat. So those are your eight garments for the Kohen Gadol.
The tunic is on the bottom of everything.
The tunic is the lowest thing. The tunic is against the skin. Against the skin is going to be the pants and the tunic and the hat. Pasuk members.
Ask a question. Why, if the sash goes with the tunic, does it have the turban between them?
I don't know what the sash is.
You said the sash was the belt.
Belt, thank you. Okay. Yes. If that goes with the tunic.
If it goes with the tunic, why is the turban between them?
I assume because of the material. They're both made out of linen.
They're all made out of linen.
No, we didn't say
what
the belt.
We don't know what the sash is made of.
Right.
But it's in the same sentence as.
That's right. Well, we'll see.
The linen turban.
We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
Pasuk Mem, verse 40, V'liv ne Aaron ta'aseh chutanos, for the children of Aaron, so these are what we call the Kohen Hedyot. Hedyot means simple. The simple Kohen. Most Kohanim are simple Kohanim. There's only one Kohen Gadol. Everybody else is ordinary. That's right. So for the regular Kohanim, the children of Aaron, you shall make tunics. V'yasisa lahem avnei tim, and you shall make for them belts. U'migvaos ta'aseh lahem, and you shall make for them hats. L'chavod u'lesif'ares, for honor and for glory. You notice that the Hebrew word for hat, for the Kohen Hedyot, for the regular Kohen, is different than the Hebrew word for hat for the Kohen Gadol. In the previous verse, we had the word for hat referring to the Kohen Gadol's hat, and that was mitznefes. Mm-hmm. Whereas the word for hat in this pasuk, in this verse, referring to the hat of the Kohen Hedyot, the regular Kohen, is umigbaos. So you have mitznefes, and the singular would be migba'as. Those are the two different words. So that would seem to imply that the hat of the Kohen Hedyot, of the regular Kohen, was not the same as the hat of the Kohen Gadol, that it looked different. Torah doesn't tell you how it looked different, but it appears that it must have looked different because there's different words used to mean hat. Mem Aleph 41. You shall dress them on Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him. And you shall anoint them. So they translate that as inaugurate them. Literally, the words mean and fill their hands. That's literally what it means. You shall sanctify them. And they will be Kohanim for me. So you put the clothes on them, and you anoint them with oil, you inaugurate them, and then they will be Kohanim for me.
Anoint them means
with oil.
With their clothes on?
Yeah.
So how do you anoint them with clothes on?
Pour oil on them.
You pour on the clothes?
And how do you get it out?
On the head?
Mm-hmm.
On all your clothes?
On the head.
With all your clothes?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see that.
And you shall make for them pants of linen, lechasos besar erva, to cover flesh that should be covered, that should not be uncovered. Mimasnayim v'adirechaim, you from the waist down to the knees they shall be. V'ha'yu al Aaron v'al banav, and they, meaning the clothing, all the clothing, should be on Aaron and on his sons. B'va'am Elohel Moed, when they come to the tent of meeting, which is the Mishkan, the tabernacle. O v'gishdam al ha'mizbech, or when they come close to the altar, l'shareis b'kodesh, to serve in the sanctuary. V'lo yisu avon, and they will not carry a sin, v'mesu, and die. The implication is, if they should enter the sanctuary, or if they perform service on the altar without the proper clothing, then they will die. By wearing the clothing, then they will not carry a sin and die. But if they wouldn't wear the clothing, then they would die. Chukas olam, this is a statute forever, lo, for him, meaning for Aaron, ulizaro, and for his children, acharav, after him. And so concludes the commandment to make clothing and for Aaron, and that he needs to wear them. Now, this is not where the Jews actually made the clothing. This is the commandment to wear the clothing. We'll get more details about the anointing and how that works in the next section of the Torah. Now, let's first address the question of what was the belt made out of. It doesn't say what the belt was made out of. Now, thankfully, there is another set of psukim, another set of verses in the Torah, where the Torah does say what the belt was made out of. And that is, the reason why there's another set of psukim is because, since this is just the commandment to make the clothing, but it is not narrating the actual making of the clothing, later on, in Parashas Pekudei, the Torah will actually tell the story of the clothing being made. And many of these psukim, many of these verses are repeated with certain details that were not mentioned here. So, hold the place, please, and you can turn to page 534. We're going to read a paragraph here, starting with Pasuk Chav Zayin, verse 27. Vayasu et hakasnos sheish ma'atzei oreg. They made the tunic out of linen, and it was not embroidery, woven. Pasuk Chav Ches. I'm sorry, Chav Zayin, 27. They made the tunic out of linen, but it is woven. So here we have a detail that is mentioned, which was not mentioned in Parashas Tetzaveh. Parashas Tetzaveh tells us what the material is for the tunic, but it doesn't tell you what type of craft was done. And now it tells you that it's a weaving rather than an embroidery. La'aron ulavanav, for Aaron and for his sons. So in case you're wondering, does the tunic of the Kohen Gadol look the same as the tunic of the Kohen, head of the regular Kohen? The answer is yes. You make the same thing for Aaron and for his sons. Ve'ez ha-mitznefes sheish, and the hat of linen. Now here, this word mitznefes, as we mentioned before, is the hat of the
Kohen Gadol.
Now the next words, ve'ez pa'arei ha-migba'os sheish, and this is the other type of hat, and there's also an adjective added here. The splendid hat was made. The splendid hats were made out of linen. So here the Torah clearly says there's two different types of hats. There's the one of the Kohen Gadol, which is the mitznefes, and then there's the ones of the Kohen head Kohanim Adyotos, the regular Kohanim, which is the mikbaos. But they're the same material. They're with the same material, but they don't look the same. They're different hats. Ves michnesei habud, and the pants of bud. Now bud means linen. Sheish mashzar, spun linen. The word bud and the word sheish mean the same thing. They both mean linen. The way they translate here in the English is, and the linen pants of twisted linen. But you see that it's two different words, bud and sheish. They both mean linen, but there is a there must be a difference in the connotation of the material. Ves ha'avneit, and the belt, sheish mashazar, spun linen, u'secheles, v'argamon, v'solas shani, and blue wool, purple wool, and red wool, ma'aseh rokem, made out of embroidery. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, like Hashem commanded Moshe. So we are given another piece of information that we did not have in Parashas Tetzaveh, which is that the belt was not only one material of linen, rather it was linen plus three types of wool. So that means the belt contained within it
shatness.
It had wool and linen together. Now we already spoke about the ephod, the apron, and the choshen, the breastplate, which had wool and linen mixed together. And we talked about how, for the clothing of the Kohanim, of the Kohen Gadol, there was a mitzvah to wear wool and linen together, where normally we are all prohibited from wearing wool and linen together, but the Kohen Gadol was commanded to wear, only in those particular garments, wool and linen together. We now find out that there are actually three of the eight garments of the Kohen Gadol had wool and linen together. The apron, that's the ephod, the breastplate, that's the choshen, and the avnet, the belt. Now, the regular Kohanim did not have aprons, nor did they have a breastplate. So they wouldn't have been wearing those two articles of clothing. But they did have a belt. So it would seem to imply, therefore, that not only was the Kohen Gadol wearing shatnez, wool and linen together, but all the Kohanim were wearing shatnez, wearing wool and linen together, since the belt had wool and linen. But this is actually a debate in the Gemara. And there's two different opinions. The debate is, was the belt of the regular Kohen the same as the belt of the Kohen Gadol? Avneto shel Kohen Hedyot, was it like the Avneto of the Kohen Gadol? Was it the same? If it was the same, that means they both had shanas. They both had woolen linen. If it was not the same, then the Kohen Hedyot was wearing a belt that was purely linen and not woolen linen together. So there is a difference of opinion. So the discussion which we had about woolen linen and the propriety of having them together in the service of Hashem, which implies that although we are commanded to keep them separate, but there is a context in which they should be put together in the service of Hashem, and only in the service of Hashem, in the pure service of Hashem, could they be put together. We had a whole class about it. Does that, if you want to call it ability, does that strength of being able to put them together in the service of Hashem, is that limited to the Kohen Gadol, or is that any Kohen could do that? That is a difference of opinion. And that revolves around whether the belt of the regular Kohen was the same as the Kohen Gadol, and that had wool and linen together, or was it purely linen, in which case that would show us the Kohen Hedyot, the regular Kohen, was not entitled to put the two together. So that's the debate in the Gemara. It is left as a machlokes, as two different valid opinions in the Gemara, and since the Gemara leaves it like that, we are also not going to take sides in that discussion, rather than to just introduce the fact that there is this machlokes, there is this difference of opinion. The clothing of the Kohanim were exclusive, which means no one else was able to wear them, and they were not able to wear any other clothing when doing the service in the Beis HaMikdash. They had to wear these articles of clothing and only these articles of clothing. So a regular Kohen wore four articles of clothing and only four articles of clothing. The pants, the tunic, the belt, and the hat. That's very few articles of clothing. That is fewer articles of clothing than most people, even in our decadent society in which people walk around with almost nothing on, even with us, they wear more clothing because everybody wears at least something on each foot, which is already two articles of clothing. And you probably have at least four articles of clothing in some way or other. A Kohen Hedyot, a regular Kohen, only had four articles of clothing. There were no socks. There were no shoes. It was only pants, a tunic, a belt, and a hat. And that was it.
Maybe obvious. This is only when they were...
Only when they were serving. That's a very good point. That's correct. Right. It was only when they were serving, and in fact, they weren't allowed to wear them when they weren't serving. Now, if the belt had shatnez, if it had woolen linen together, then there would be a prohibition to wear it when they weren't serving. Because it's only permitted when you're serving. When you're not serving, you can't do it, and that becomes very... If there was no shatnez, if there was no woolen linen together, then in theory, they wouldn't have to take it off right away, but they still couldn't do any mundane acts while wearing the sanctified clothing. It had to only be in the service of the Beis HaMikdash. The material of these last articles of clothing that we've mentioned, which are the pants and the tunic, those are the ones that are in contact with the skin. The pants, the tunic, and I guess the hat as well. Some people with more skin than others. Right? So the pants and the tunic were touching the skin. The other articles of clothing that the Kohen Gadol, the belt, goes over the tunic, so that doesn't touch the skin. And then the extra articles of clothing that the Kohen Gadol would wear, that would be the jacket, that did not touch the skin because that went over the tunic. The ephod, the apron, which went over the jacket, and the breastplate, which was over the jacket, those were not touching the skin. The tzitz, the headband, did touch the skin. So the other articles of clothing that did not touch the skin had wool in them. In fact, they also had threads of gold in them. Now, if you think about it, the most comfortable material to touch the skin would be a fine linen. It's a comfortable material to be against the skin. The wool is not typically worn against the skin. Many people have an allergic reaction to that, but even with that, even if you don't have an allergic reaction, it's not a very comfortable feeling. Wool is a wonderful article of clothing. It keeps you warm, but it's not pleasant to feel wool against bare skin. The garments that actually touch the skin are generally either synthetic or they are grown linen or cotton. That's what touches the skin. The material that we make clothing out of that comes from animals, that is wool, does not touch the skin. And therefore we see already a hierarchy, which we know to be true. We know it's true already. We just know it from ourselves and the way we have clothing. But the truth is you see within the clothing of the Kohanim, which is that material that is grown is comfortable and is worn against the skin. Material that comes from an animal is stylish, is beautiful, is splendid. It can bring more beauty to a person, and it's also more functional, gives more warmth, etc. And certainly metal, like gold, can't be worn against the skin. It would have to be these gold threads that were in the apron and in the breastplate. That would be extremely uncomfortable to have up against the skin. And so we know that in the hierarchy of creation, Hashem created domeim. Domeim is non-living things. That would be like dirt and stone, sand, etc. And Hashem created that which grows. That's plant life. And then Hashem created that which lives. That would be animal life. And then people. So when people are using these other items for their own benefit, which is what they're there for. They're there for us. We have to wear clothing. The most comfortable is that which is in the class of tzomeach, of that which grows, and that which is has grandeur or style or beauty is in the class of animal. I imagine leather as well is also something which is, although it is very warm, it's also most functional as an outer garment. Whereas something, as we said, I said synthetic or which grows from the ground is what is used against the skin. And that you see that reflected in the clothing of the Kohanim, of the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot.
What about silk?
So that's a good question. Where does silk fit in? It's not really, it's not from the body of an animal, but it is made by an animal.
Okay.
A silkworm. Right, it makes the right. So that's a good point. I'm not sure exactly where we would classify that. That's a good point. Where exactly that it fits.
That feels very comfortable.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not from the body of an animal. Right. Now the difference in the hat of the Kohen Gadol and the hats of the Kohanim Hedyotos, the regular Kohanim. So, the Mefarshim, the commentaries, discuss these two words, and not much is said about the difference in their appearance. For instance, the Ibn Ezra writes, they were two different hats. He doesn't explain what the differences were, just says they were two different hats. But that seems to be pretty clear from the verses, they must have been two different hats. So, there are at least two reasons why there must have been differences in how they looked, although I can't describe to you exactly the differences, but there are at least two differences. One, we described last time, which I'm sure you remember like it was yesterday, and that is that the Kohen Gadol had the headband, the tzitz, which went over the hat, and in fact was kept in place. It was like we mentioned last time, it was like a two-piece set. The hat really would have fallen off his head if it wasn't for the headband with its strings holding it on, and the headband would have fallen over his face if it wasn't being held back by the hat, if it was a two-piece set. Whereas the Kohen Hedyot, the regular Kohen, he didn't have a headband. So the hat had to be configured in a way that would stay on his head. The Kohen Gadol, the hat was one which might have been tilted back, and it wouldn't fall off because it was being held on by the headband. But the Kohen Hedyot, the regular Kohen, didn't have the extra piece, therefore the hat must have been one that actually sank onto his head a little better so that it wouldn't fall off. That's one major difference. I saw that the Ramban discusses the anointing of the Kohen Gadol, that there may have had to be more space on the head for the oil, whereas for the Kohen Hedyot, for the regular Kohen, it wasn't as necessary. We'll discuss that, please God, when we get to the anointing of the Kohanim. Yeah.
Rabbi, with all that reference to clothing, was any reference to shoes?
No, they did not wear shoes. They were not allowed.
Barefoot?
They had to perform the service barefoot. That was a requirement.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's why they take their shoes off for the dusting?
That's a good guess, but it's not the reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good guess, because they leave their socks on. The Kohanim didn't have anything on, nothing on their feet. Their feet
had a problem.
How about that?
In the winter you had a problem.
Yes. In fact, it was in the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple, it was marble floor.
Right.
So it was cold.
Mm, yeah.
It was cold. Now, there was a temple doctor. The Mishnah talks about how there was an official physician of the temple. And the Mishnah says the reason why they had to have a temple physician was because the Kohanim would perform the service barefoot, which was cold, and they ate the food of the temple, which was a very heavy food.
Yeah.
It was meat, it was oil, and the foods were very heavy, and it would frequently lead to some minor ailments, particularly stomach ailments. And therefore, there was a doctor always present to help out in that area. But they had to perform barefoot. That is a requirement, and a Kohen who puts something under his feet, the service is invalid. There is a discussion, in fact, what happens if a Kohen was standing on the feet of another Kohen. Is that considered to be separated from the ground or not? Because he's not wearing clothing, but he's not touching the ground. There is a discussion about that. They were not allowed to wear gloves, even though it was a very messy job to be a Kohen. They're slaughtering animals. If anybody's ever been to a slaughterhouse, you'll see that those working in a slaughterhouse are wearing all kinds of protective garments because it's messy. It's a messy job. And the Kohanim were involved in a messy job. They were not allowed to wear gloves. They had to be with their bare hands. The Gemara relates a very disturbing story about one of the Kohanim who insisted on wearing gloves. And the Gemara describes how eventually he committed a crime and suspected of a worse crime. And in the end, he lost the use of his hands as a punishment from the kingdom, from the governor. And the Gemara says that was Hashem's way of punishing this Kohen for wearing gloves during the service. That was considered to be an insult to the service. He had to do it with his bare hands. So bare hands and bare feet for the Kohanim in their service. Yeah.
So what does it mean with the, it should be for glory, where is it? Headdress for glory and splendor, just that it should look special?
Yes, it was a special looking hat. That's right.
But there was freedom in making it special?
No. They were uniform in their appearance.
No, I meant an embroiderer could...
Oh, I don't know. No, I imagine there was more detail. I just don't know what the detail was. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So was it easy to clean the clothes?
So they had changes of clothes, and there was a regular dry cleaning service that came. There was a person in charge of the clothing, so that the clothing had to be laundered and had to be cleaned up.
Yeah, it's hard to get blood out.
Yeah.
And oil.
Oh, oil's worse than blood.
Yeah. Yeah, but they could bleach it if it was all linen.
Oil's tough.
Yeah.
Does it say what the reason for the restriction of gloves and shoes?
Well, the simple answer is just that the Torah doesn't enumerate them as clothing. It's just these four. But it seems that the Kohanim had to be in direct contact with the temple itself and with the service itself. The Kohanim are the agents of Hashem and the agents of us Jews, to do the service, and they needed to be in direct contact. Was there a question?
Yeah. Do we know how much oil they poured on?
We're going to see later. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I believe there was another loose end I wanted to cover before I... Hold on 1 second here. Yeah. Okay, so if you look in Mem Aleph 41, so after enumerating 7 of the 8 garments, it tells us, you shall dress Aaron your brother and his sons with him, and you shall anoint them and fill their hands and sanctify them. I'm sorry, back in 472, excuse me.
Sorry.
Yeah, my fault. Back in 472.
Last
one. I'll read it again. Back on 472, Mem Aleph 41. Okay, you shall dress Aaron with and his brother. You shall dress Aaron and Aaron your brother and his sons with him. You shall dress the clothing on them, and you shall anoint them, and you shall fill their hands, and you shall sanctify them, and they shall be kohanim for me. That's after mentioning seven of the 8 articles of clothing. Then, after mentioning all of that, it says, and make for them pants of linen to cover the flesh that should be covered. And it should be from the waist to the knees. And after all of that, it says, all the clothing should be on Aaron and his sons, otherwise they risk death if they're not wearing their clothing or they're wearing different clothing when performing the service. It's clear from the way the Torah presents it that the first 7 articles of clothing are for the grandeur and honor of the service of the Kohen and the Kohen Gadol. The pants have a different function. Their purpose is to cover the flesh that needs to be covered. So the pants serve a different purpose. They are not lekavod ulesifares. They're not for honor and splendor. The pants are specifically to cover that which needs to be covered. So, if you want to think about it in a little bit of a contrast, the pants are to prevent a problem. There's a problem here. A person is not allowed to be uncovered, so the pants cover. The other articles of clothing are to project something special. Look who we're dealing with. This is the Kohen. This is the Kohen Gadol. This is what he wears. This is what a person wears when they perform service for Hashem. This is the way they should look. There was no grandeur to the pants. It was not meant to be anything that would look special. It was meant to be functional. Cover what has to be covered. That is why, I'll get to your question in a moment, that is why the language for linen is different with the pants than with everything else. The other ones are called sheish, and the pants are called bud. Bud is also sheish. They both mean linen. And in fact, I'll show you something very interesting. I have never grown linen, so I can't tell you what it looks like in its growing stages. But it is clear to me that linen must have some relationship to the number 6, whether they grow in 6 stems or whether there's some shape of 6, because the word sheish, which means 6, refers to linen. But more than that, the word bud, very good, the word bud, beis dalid, is also the gematria of 6. Beis is 2 and dalid is 4, which also equals 6. So there must be some element of 6 in linen when it's grown or when it's processed. But from the way that the Torah is describing it, it appears that bud is less beautiful. Sheish is a beautiful linen. It's a linen that you like to look at. In addition to wear it, it also looks very nice. But bud is just regular linen. It's linen, it's functional, it's comfortable, and it does what it's supposed to do. But it's not meant at all to be something that is beautiful or adds some sort of splendor or grandeur, which is what we would expect. Something which is meant to cover is not there to draw attention. It's there to cover. If it was to draw attention, it would do the opposite of what it is out to do. The whole purpose is to cover. If the purpose is to cover, it means to detract from the attention, to deflect attention. That which is meant to draw attention, splendor, grandeur, does not mix with that which is meant to cover, and cover only. This is a lesson which is lost on our culture, where people don't understand that there is what is meant to cover and there is what is meant to look nice. And it's two different things. And the articles of clothing of the Kohanim are meant to reflect that, that that which is meant to cover is only meant to cover, and it is not meant to be something that draws attention.
Yeah, they don't do either.
That's also true. Yeah.
So these breeches that are put on last, but it seems like they should be put on first.
Yeah, so this is not the order that they put on the clothing.
Okay.
Right. It's just the last one we got to, but in fact, the pants are put on first.
Okay.
That is true. The order is going to be, if I remember correctly, it goes the pants, and then the tunic, and then the belt, and then the hat. I'm pretty sure that's the order it goes. And as for the Kohen Gadol, then goes the jacket, the apron, and the breastplate. They have to go together, and then the tzitz, the headband. Yeah.
Is it only the four special clothes of the Kohen Gadol that atone for sins, or is it all
eight? No, all eight atone for sins. Now you would expect that the pants are going to atone for arayos, right? For illicit relationships. And that's what you would expect, and it is what it atones for. And the truth is that I was remiss. I do not remember. I forgot to refresh my memory about what the other ones atone for. I have to look that up.
Yeah.
You have it there?
On the thing that Leah gave us.
Okay,
I saw it here somewhere.
Yeah, no, it was in there. I remember it was in there.
Okay.
Let's take a quick look at that.
Yeah, it is there.
It's
paper
on that page that you have there.
Okay.
It talks about what they were
talking about. Yep. The hat was arrogance. We actually spoke about that a little bit. Yeah. Okay, the only one that we have, no, there's only two we haven't done yet, which is that the belt atones for improper thoughts of the heart, and the tunic atoned for murder. Yeah, yes, that is discussed. Yes. You want a person attending services in a regular synagogue,
yes.
There are parameters for how one dresses. In general, there's one level of dress that is required in order to recite a bracha, in order to study Torah. That's one level of dress. Then there is another level in order to pray the Shemona Esrei, the silent prayer to Hashem, the one in which we stand before God Himself and pray. There's another level of dress that is required. So, for example, in theory, for a man to recite a blessing, if his hands are clean, he would not have to have a shirt on in order to recite a blessing. It would be permitted if a man was working in the field and he wasn't wearing a shirt, but his hands were clean and he wanted to take a drink of water, he'd be allowed to recite a blessing. But he would not be allowed to pray, because it's disrespectful to stand in front of a king standing like that. So there's different levels of what is required. It is for this reason that in most yeshivas, there is a special dress code for davening, where during the rest of the day, they have one set of dress code, but then for davening, they're required to put on a jacket and a hat. That's usually the extra dress that is required, because of this idea of the davening is our equivalent of the service in the Beis HaMikdash, and so the Kohanim had their special clothing, so we add something special in order to dress properly.
Now, you said, was it the jacket that atones for murder?
The tunic.
The what?
The tunic.
The tunic. So, why would the Kohen Gadol have to wear that?
Well, he wore all eight.
know, but why would he have to wear that?
Well, in fact, it makes more sense for him than the other ones, because the Kohen Gadol is the one that in a case of accidental murder, in which the punishment is that the murderer, who was negligent, it was not premeditated murder, but he was negligent, so he needs to go to a city of refuge. And he remains there, who knows until when?
The Kohen Gadol dies.
Till the Kohen Gadol dies.
Well, but he's the Kohen Gadol.
So the Gemara asks the question, what did the Kohen Gadol do? Mm-hmm. Why should the person's sentence be based on the death of the Kohen Gadol? Imagine a person who was sent away into exile. Mm-hmm. He wants to come home. So what is he hoping? Hoping the Kohen Gadol will die. That's not a very good place for the Kohen Gadol to be, that there are people out there who want him to die. They're not going to kill him, but it's not a nice place. You don't want to be thinking that, oh, there are people out there who don't want me around. So the Gemara says, what did he do wrong? So the Gemara says, since that accidental murder happened under his watch, now even though he wasn't there, but the fact is, he's one of the major leaders of the Jewish people, and under his watch, this person wasn't careful with how he wielded his axe, and he killed somebody. Then he has to take responsibility for that.
It says here the belt went hugging over the heart.
The belt was worn high up; it wasn't worn low down at the waist.
So it was like
worn
a
higher up.
Belt?
Yeah. The Gemara, the pasuk in Yechezkel tells us that the belt should not be worn b'makom zeya, which literally means in a place of perspiration. So not too high up, which approaches the underarms, and not too low down. So in between those two areas would be the area of where the belt would go. Okay, so with the conclusion of this of the garments, so we now have a picture of what the Kohanim would look like when they perform the service. Now you understand that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol had a different set of clothing. This, instead of the eight that are prescribed here, on Yom Kippur, he had a special set of garments, only four, not eight. On Yom Kippur, he had only four garments. Only the pants, the tunic, the belt, and the hat. Which sounds like it's the same as a regular Kohen. That's what he would wear on Yom Kippur. And on Yom Kippur, it was all white, which means it was all linen, nothing else. So the thing is this, which this will be described later on when we get to the service of Yom Kippur. The belt becomes the focal point of the discussion, because the Kohen Gadol's belt was not purely linen. It had all the other material in there. On Yom Kippur, he exchanged that belt for a purely linen belt. Now, as I mentioned to you, there is a difference of opinion about a regular Kohen. Was their belt, were their belts purely linen, or was it linen with all the other clothing, all the other materials, all the wool, etc.? So, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, everything was linen. The four garments were all linen. So, he either looked exactly like a Kohen Hedyot, like a regular Kohen, because the regular Kohen also had everything as linen, or according to the opinion that the regular Kohen's belt was with wool, then on Yom Kippur the Kohen didn't look like anybody. He was a completely different type of set of clothing. It was all linen all the way through. Now the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur did not wear those four garments for the entire day. He changed back and forth. If you were careful and looked through your Yom Kippur machzor and saw how it's discussed over there, he changed back and forth. When he performed services, which were services, everyday services, the same things that were done daily, he would wear his regular full eight-garment Kohen Gadol wardrobe. When he was performing services which were purely Yom Kippur services, then he would change into his purely white garments. And he would constantly switch back and forth on Yom Kippur throughout the day. Five changes of clothing. In addition to the Kohen Gadol and the regular Kohen and the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, there is one other discussion of clothing and service in the Beis HaMikdash, and that is, what did Moshe Rabbeinu wear during the inaugural period of the Mishkan? During the inaugural period of the Mishkan, not only was the Mishkan being inaugurated, but Aaron and his sons were being inaugurated as Kohanim. You notice that in Pasuk Memala 41, when it says to Moshe, you shall dress them on Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him. You shall anoint them. You shall fill their hands. You shall sanctify them. And they will become Kohanim to me. We know that Kohanim is a family business. You're born into it. You don't have to do anything to earn it. And in fact, if you're not a Kohen, you can't earn it. You're either a Kohen or you're not a Kohen. You're born into it. But they were the first Kohanim. When did Aaron become a Kohen? When did his sons become Kohanim? Where did they go from? They were from the tribe of Levi. What happened to transform them from being regular Levites to being Kohanim? This is what did it. During the inaugural week of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle, the Mishkan was inaugurated and they were inaugurated. But then the question is, so who ran the show? They couldn't be running the show because they were being inaugurated. And the answer is, Moshe ran the show. So Moshe spent a week in which he was sort of like a Kohen, but he wasn't a Kohen. He was Moshe. So what did he wear during that week? This is discussed in the Gemara. What did Moshe wear? Unclear what he wore. And the answer the Gemara says is, he wore a white tunic. Did he wear a belt? It doesn't appear that he wore a belt. Did he wear a hat? It doesn't appear like he wore a hat. Did he wear pants? It doesn't say. Was he bareheaded? I don't know. It doesn't say. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. Not to wear pants? I mean, the tunic went all the way down to the ground. So nothing was exposed. But were there no... It doesn't say. It just says he wore a linen white tunic. A pure white tunic. Was that?
Not a belt at all.
It doesn't seem like there was a belt. It does not appear like there was a belt. So there you have yet another, a fourth, we'll call it wardrobe, for service in the Beis HaMikdash. Kohen Gadol, Kohen Hediot, Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, Moshe Rabbeinu for that inaugural period. Those are the four different types of wardrobes that we have described for service in the temple. Yeah.
So, do we know what time of the season was?
Yeah, was it cold?
Was it cold?
They were in the Sinai Desert. So, you know, I don't know what the...
And during what? During January?
Well, where the inaugural period was in Nisan.
Nisan.
So we're talking in springtime. Beginning of the spring.
Uh-huh.
It's
a nice how many there was a coin Gadol, and how many other coins during
the
regular day...
In the beginning, it was all of them. They all needed to be there because they didn't have any.
All of them meaning what? Three?
They started with only three, Aaron and his two sons.
Right.
So as they had more children, then the Kohanim became more plentiful. Then they split up into shifts. Eventually, they divided up into 24 shifts. Each shift worked for a week.
How many people
work? It depended on how many Kohanim there were in the world.
Because my real question is, did they have like a wardrobe for all the Kohanim? Like
whoever.
12 or 24 or 54, you know, sets of clothing, and they were all cleaned and ready?
They had as many as were needed per day. And I imagine that they had, you know, they probably had stuff in the wash. So, you know, they had whatever needed to be on the shelves. They also had to fit the different Kohanim.
Right.
Right, so they had different sizes.
Right.
Yeah, so it became an industry, but that took a while. In the beginning, it was just a few Kohanim. As the Kohanim grew, so then the need of more of the clothing grew. Yeah.
All right, so Aaron was the Kohen Gadol.
Mm-hmm.
And Moshe was Moshe.
Right.
He was, didn't have any other title except Moshe Rabbeinu.
Rabbeinu, yeah.
So when he went into the Mishkan, he just wore his white tunic.
When he did the service, see, when he went to speak to Hashem,
mm-hmm.
he wore whatever he was wearing. He didn't have special clothing for that. But when he performed the service as the he was inaugurating his brother as the
mm-hmm.
Kohen Gadol. But Moshe was performing the service at that time. Then he had to have something to wear. You can't do service without something special.
So after he anointed and when Moshe had, was Moshe able to go back?
Not to do service. Once Aaron became the Kohen Gadol, Moshe was out. Then it's just Aaron.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was a right. It's important for us to know that Moshe, for all his greatness, was only able to do what he did in the service for only that week.
Oh.
And he was just as restricted as anybody else to do this service in the Mishkan. Only the Kohen could do it.
But after that, did Moshe speak with Hashem?
Yeah, no, he still was the one to speak to Hashem.
And wasn't it in the Mishkan?
Yes. He was able to enter the Mishkan to speak to Hashem, but he was not able to perform the service. He couldn't sprinkle the blood, and he couldn't offer the incense, and he couldn't light the menorah. All that was only for Aaron and his sons. Okay, we'll stop here.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.